It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Feeling pretty perky for guys at 3 hours of sleep last night. Not bad. 70 years old, 3 hours of sleep. You can do it too, I guess. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In the studio, well within striking distance, the Pepe Le Pew of the outdoor world.
I do stink.
Mark. Mark, see here, Tobin. Mark, how are you doing this morning?
Goodly. Yeah, it's not 100 degrees right now, so.
Not quite.
That kind of takes the fun out of working outside, that 100 degree weather.
Well, you got good tan to you, though. Got good color.
Yeah, that's searching pretty hard for a bright lining.
Has the grass quit growing?
It has slowed down.
Slowed down, hasn't it?
People that are watering, it's still growing good. But, yeah, it's a little stressed out there. Grass is, and it's good. I'm glad it slowed down a little bit because it was crazy.
Boy, yeah.
It was growing so fast. You really needed to be out on your yard 2 times a week. And,
yeah.
And that's tough.
I'd shut the mower off and look back toward the end of the driveway, and I go, ah, oh, man, it's growing.
I know, right?
It just looked like it's growing. Yeah.
That really cuts into the fishing time.
We need to talk about, we want, and we got time in here to have a new advertiser. So yeah. We're looking for a new advertiser. If you want a show that I guess we're doing pretty good here. Sounds like it. Mm-hmm. You know? Ratings I know about.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll work with any budget, too. When we're cheap socks, aren't we?
Yeah. We are cheap.
Call the greatest lawn service world, Mark Tobin, Tobin Lawn, and get a hold of Mark, and we'll hook up something and work with you. And we'd love to have you as a sponsor here on the show. And there's got to be somebody out there that goes, hey, that don't sound like a bad idea. Mm-hmm. We've lost in 4 years. Yeah, how long have we been here? 4 years?
Yeah, 5 years. It seems like a lifetime.
But it does, don't it? 4 or 5 years we've been. 4 years. Yeah. In August, we worked on the fifth
year.
Yeah,
that's probably our fifth year, yeah.
Probably fifth year. I don't know. Anyway, we've lost a sponsor in 5 years. In 37 years of talk radio, I have lost probably 4 or 5 sponsors. I had one sponsor. This is a weird story. I'm full of weird stories. I generated too much for him and got him into an income tax thing, and it was just a nightmare for him.
Wow.
It was kind of cool. It was a compliment
on
my behalf.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, outdoor enthusiasts like these kind of shows, and they're needed. That's the way I look at it. I don't think we do a good job, but what the hey, it's needed. You know the deal. I'm a little bit upset that Bass Pro and Cabela's or the local Dick's or whoever, Shields, is not a sponsor on the show.
Yeah, they.
It would behoove them to, you know, dance.
We would like to think so, but.
Yeah, dance with the ones that bring you.
Yeah.
In the deal.
816, our phone number at Tobin Lawn, 816-765-5565.
That's pretty simple. What is it?
816-765-5565.
Well, that would work.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you as a sponsor here on the show. We'll take care of you. Come in, do a radio show with us. We'll giggle and laugh. Some of the stuff we tell you is true. Not always, you know.
Stretched.
Fishermen tend to
exaggerate.
Just
we won't call it lying.
No, it's stretching the truth.
Yes.
Weighing your thumb on the scales.
It's a misremembering, really.
A misremembering. That's a political term.
Yeah, that's very good.
What's the other saying they always say when they catch them in a lie? It was taken out of.
Taken out of context.
Context.
It's a misremembering.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
That is the newest star here at Sports Radio 810, Blake Sneeders. And the Sneeders family, they've had a big weekend this weekend.
They do, don't they?
That we do.
Are you throwing a party? Are we invited?
Hell yeah, you guys are always invited.
There you go.
Got mom's birthday today. Happy birthday, Sandy Sneeders. I know you're not up, and I know you're not listening, but I still want to say it. I'll probably give you a bigger shout out today on Baseball Today or tonight, whatever it's called. And then, yeah, Father's Day on Sunday, my father's birthday on Monday. So it's
cool.
It's a party here in the Schneider's household.
That's right. We'll be right over.
Yeah.
Good weekend.
We were going to have a little get together out here in the parking lot after the show one day, and I had a lot of people go, yeah. I didn't get any feedback anymore. I guess it was just the three or four listeners that we got.
I think you stopped talking about it. That's why.
That's probably what it was. John Serta, the dog trainer, said he would autograph your dog if you brought him over. You know, I wonder if he was talking about a permanent autograph, you know, like one of those tattoo things.
Never know with John.
Yeah, it's true. Strange human.
He is.
It's kind of bizarre. The day we were out there doing the fundraiser for the Boy or Cub Scouts, maybe it was. Boy Scouts, I can't remember which it was. And he got down on all fours and talked to the dog. Well, all of a sudden, last time I interviewed him, he said, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Conveniently.
Conveniently. He'd make a good politico.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you know, I just don't really remember. I was taking out text, you know.
He's content. Truly one of my favorite people.
Oh, he's a wonderful person.
When he knows dogs.
Yeah, he's starting to look like one last time I was around him.
And smell.
Yeah, you know, I can't tell you what he did, but he dropped down and did something weird to himself, and I went, oh, my God.
You were jealous.
Man, I have got more calls this week than probably all the years we've been on the radio in regards to the quality and quantity of fish being caught. I thought last year was good.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of this still stems back to a couple of years ago. The lakes, the lakes were so high, and the fishing pressure was so light. And we had good spawn, good reproduction, and good survival of those fish. And, yeah, we're still kind of reaping the rewards of that for sure.
I was talking to Don Hunt the other day. I said, you catch any fish? And he said, yeah, knocking the sparks out of them. And he's down there on Truman. He said, right about an hour before sunset on the weir, you need a parking pass. So many boats up there. What a good comment.
Yeah. You know when the bite's on at the weir.
What is Truman way up?
I think it's 5 foot high right now.
Really?
It's coming down.
They must be generating a lot of electricity.
Drawing a lot of water.
What about Lake of the Ozarks?
It's normal for the first time in a
There's
in a
nothing
long time.
Normal about the Lake of the
well,
Ozarks. Don't make that statement to me. That's a weird bunch of people hanging out down there.
Yeah. That Lake of the Ozarks is said to be the most dangerous lake, one of the top two most dangerous lakes in the country.
Clothes are optional.
That's true. Yeah.
That Party Cove.
Yeah, I've never been up there.
I never have either, but I would like, you know, heck yeah, I'd like to go up there, you know, but I think it'd just be too weird for me.
Rob Fanning that used to shoot the American Outdoorsman television show, he went up there one time and had him and his buddy had their cameras and had shirts that said film crew.
Mm-hmm.
You can only imagine the attention that they garnered from.
So. I bet you that was an uplifting experience. What's the deal? Why is it? Why? I mean, you think it's because of 2 years of really good spawn or 3 years of really good spawn?
Yeah, well, and you can't underestimate the lack of fishing pressure, too.
Yeah, I got it.
And with the lake being so high, the young fry, regardless of the species, had lots of places to get away and hide, so had a good survival rate of the spawn too, which that helped as well. But yeah, I mean it's really good. And like you said, quality. I'm talking to Brian Andreka, the Kansas Angling Experience, yesterday, and he is just I've never seen. If you look at his Facebook page, you just cannot believe the amount of walleye that he's catching out there.
It's off the chart.
He's never seen anything like it. He caught a lot last year, but they weren't legal. This year, he's catching a lot of legal size fish.
18 inch?
15.
15 inch.
Uh-huh. But, it's just he's not even fishing for hybrids right now because the walleye bite is so good. He's fishing out on flats, trolling. I mean, there's a couple of spots that you can fish, roadbeds and some humps. And if you can find them, you're going to have a lot of company with you. If you catch one, I swear those guys out there, they have binoculars, and if they see you catch a fish, you got a lot of friends around you.
Yeah.
But he'll do that early, and then he's just trolling the flats. And just amazing numbers of fish out there. Catching some at Hillsdale. Stockton, the walleye are good. Walleye are just catching a lot of walleye right now.
It's about time.
Yeah, right. It has been. Last month it's just been on fire.
Everybody I talk to is just absolutely ballistic.
Yeah, bottom bouncing with night crawlers has been a good way to do it. Or trolling. Flicker shad is a real popular bait to troll. I know you don't like trolling all that much, but if you catch walleye, I might be able to.
Yeah, you could talk me into that one maybe for the grocery sake of it.
But white bass and hybrids on Truman are really good whenever they're running water like they are right now. And they should continue for a while because the lake's still pretty high. The whites and the hybrids really seem to really get the feed bag on. It's a lot of fun.
I looked at a lot of stuff this week because the bites are good, but Milford is hot. The hybrid bite on Milford probably takes a backseat to nowhere in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
I
haven't heard any really great reports on them yet, but it seems to me that on a normal year, it's about this time and closer to July 4th when they really get going. And we're right there.
Yeah. Is it gall time?
That's usually a little later. Maybe. In July, yeah.
Yeah.
Beginning, middle of July, that's when you keep an eye in the sky, keep an eye out for those gulls working, though. Because what happens is the white bass and the hybrids, they'll push the shad up to the top. And when they do that and they start schooling like that, the seagulls, they'll go down and take advantage of that easy meal. And so if you ever see the seagulls diving, there's some action underneath them, so better go check it out.
Yeah, it was like duck hunting with a fishing rod. it was just when we were out there, that last time we were there, and all you do is watch the sky.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you could care less about anything else. You just watch and watch and watch because they'll tip their hand.
Yeah,
you know where the fish are at.
Real easy. Yeah, you don't need any high-priced live scope or electronics for that.
Yeah. And, at Milford, you can go out to the hump if you want to just fish live bait.
The two islands,
Go out there, and you're going to see five or six boats around there. Just get right off the other side of them, be pleasant to people. My goodness.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at the people that don't fish Milford.
Well, and we're getting to that time of year where a lot of people just can't tolerate the heat. But, boy, if you can get out there.
A couple hours aren't going to kill you in the morning.
No. That's true.
If you're around there.
It can be really good in the heat of the day, too.
Yeah, exactly. Have you heard anything out of Tuttle Creek?
Yeah, it's supposedly the saugers are really good right now. The catfishing has been spectacular. It was a good spring on crappie fishing, but here recently, a lot of and white bass, big white. There's just some gigantic white bass. But from what I hear, that the fishing is really good out there right now. And I've never fished that lake.
Oh, I fished one of the snot few out of it, but never enough.
Yeah,
and never enough. It's just a wonderful. It's right here in our backyard.
I know, right?
It's right over here by Ash. I mean, gee whiz, it's not that far away.
Nope.
Every year, every Saturday, I say I'm always amazed. People don't. I'll say something about Tuttle Creek, and they'll say, "Never heard of it. Where is it?"
Huh, really?
I think it's one of the larger reservoirs, isn't it? In Kansas?
Yeah, I don't know how it ranks.
It's pretty close
to the
top.
Milford is the biggest.
In the top four or five on the deal. So I don't know. You're not getting any younger, ladies and gentlemen. You need to go fishing.
That's right.
Hey, we got to take a little bit of a break. We are brought to you by SAR USA. We had Todd Pearson on last Saturday, who runs SAR USA. And I don't think I've ever been around so much as the feedback I got from that. And the people that said, yeah, I got one. I kind of had to wait on it to get it, but now the pipeline's getting filed. They're bringing in 7,200 every Monday or something like that, and different models. Everyone tells me the same thing. I can actually hit something with it because it just makes good old common sense. The trigger assemblies in that gun is so smooth. The sight plane of that gun is absolutely phenomenal. The grips, the way you grip this gun is unbelievable. They make that six, it'd be a six that fits in your hand for the ladies who want some self-protection or feel that they need something around them.
Yeah, for the late. Didn't he say that there's some different colored guns? That
yeah,
they have
also? Pink That's ones so, and green yeah, ones right. and That's all so the cool. stuff, you know. And and somebody, of course, wrote on the website, you know, a pink gun, the kid might play with it. Duh. The kid's not supposed to play with guns. He's not supposed to be around
access them. To them. Right.
Take responsibility for your actions. Don't space it off. I just made me so mad when I read that. I thought, you buffoon. Somebody is a buffoon out here. I don't know who it is. Blake, quit looking at me. But don't give me that look. I'm telling you, he's mad about something now. I didn't mean you.
It's a hard time convincing me there, Fred.
Okay. All right. If looks could kill, you got that Adolf Hitler look right now.
I don't think you'd want to make Blake mad.
Well, he's mad right now. No. Good thing there's bulletproof glass between three panes of bulletproof glass between me and him right now. Tsar, USA. When you go to a dealer, there's getting a lot of dealers getting these guns in right now. You want to save a sack of money. It's about 60% of the regular guns. And got them in different calibers, 9s and 45s, a little bit of everything. Nothing like Tsar, USA. And they stand behind the product 110%. Sar, USA. Got to take a little break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. In the studio, we have a television on. There's some fishing show going on. They're catching walleye. And it just makes me jealous and mad.
I know.
I'm here. They're up there. You can tell it's a little bit cool. They got on a coat. My goodness.
I'm wishing I was fishing.
Wishing I was fishing. We are brought to you by King City Lumber Company, Marty Monty Tunks, the finest humans to walk the face of the earth. Good people. Not too many good people left, is there, Mark?
It seems like fewer and farther between.
Strange times we're going through, isn't it?
Certainly is.
One of my favorite Jack Johnson songs ever is Where Did All the Good People Go?
It's true. Very, very, very true.
Truer today than ever.
Well, King City Lumber Company guys are the best humans you'll ever deal with because they are master carpenters. They have first-rate lumber. They will do it and do it right. And, you know, the price of lumber has gone ballistic. But these guys here will probably, they will help you on the price of the thing. They understand. KingCityLumber.com. Please go to their website. You'll spend a little bit of time there. I saw some humans who had kayaks on top of their truck heading north yesterday. Had that glowed look to them. You know, you take that kayak, you go with the Joe Falcos, buy one first thing, get a Jackson.
Yeah.
And take it up to Nottoway County Lake and catch all those 3-pound, 9-ounce crappie.
And the big hybrid bluegill.
Yeah, well,
rather have them than just about anything. Yeah,
you'd throw them back.
I would not. I'd throw them back in my live well.
You'd throw them back in your grease?
That's right. Catch and release into the grease.
Boy.
But, yeah, and this is good kayaking weather, but I talked a little bit ago about, you know, if some of these lakes, you catch fish and you've got nothing but company. It's a very social event.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I like getting away from the crowd.
Yeah.
And, boy, that's the way to do it.
You know, the thing about a kayak, you can get back in that grove of trees.
Yeah, that you can't get a
boat
back into.
A big bass boat, you can't get back in there.
Right.
You know, and just barely paddle in there and not make much noise.
Now, that's the way to take advantage of all these. I mean, there's so many city and county lakes between Kansas and Missouri, and that's the best way to access them. The Jackson kayaks, they've got a reputation for being the most stable. And that's what you want if you're going to be fishing. You want a stable kayak. And there's you got to see some of these. They've got so many cool things that they put on them, and you know, some of these you can pedal instead of having to row, and you can put an electric trolling motor on some of them, and that's fishing hands free in a kayak, and you get electronics on them. They're great. But Sportsman's Outfit Marine out there in Belton, that's the place to go to get them.
Well, it's just something about them, and the peace, the quiet.
The quiet, yes.
You know, go to Bilby Ranch, go to Nottoway Valley. I suppose if you went the upper end of Smithville, you could get away from a lot of humans up there.
Absolutely.
Back in that timber. You're back fishing in places that they don't see a crappie jig.
Right. Yeah.
So that makes something. Do they have the aerated live well in any of these yet?
Yeah,
do they?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
That's a good product.
Jackson Kayaks, yeah. It's Sportsman's Outfitter Marine.
That Joe Falco's a wonderful person.
He really is. He's such a good guy. And he's got a warped sense of humor, but still a good guy.
Well, the boat business will make you have a warped sense of humor.
Yeah.
You better have thick skin.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, a lot of the boat dealers that I know can't get them.
No, I know. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the shortage of new vehicles, you know, with the plants being shut down, the boat industry has taken it on the chin as well.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But they've still got some used boats out there, and they got a good bunch of kayaks. So
yeah.
And
I went by Reed Chevrolet yesterday, and they don't have very many new ones. You know, they're like hen's teeth, and they're not probably going back into full production for a while. But what a selection of used trucks is right now.
Boy, used vehicles are, you know, they're at a premium right now.
They are. And if you want to sell yours outright, I guarantee you there's nobody going to beat the deal up at Reed Chevrolet. You know, you just take used now, like get rid of this truck. I don't drive it much anymore. And it's got 170,000 miles on it, but they would still step right to the pump. I don't know. I just love those people.
Yeah.
I love being around them because they're so successful and they're good, good humans on the deal. So what the hey, you know. Where are you going fishing today?
Lake of the Ozarks.
Are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Get away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'll see another boat down there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do?
Guarantee that. Quite a few, I'm sure. I was thinking about crappie fishing. And
all the time.
Have you ever, can you think of another fish that has so many different names than crappie? Crappie, here's a few that I know of, and there might be more, but they're called white perch, speckled perch, specks. Have you ever heard them called checkerboard fish?
No.
Checkerboard fish, sacalay. That's a name that is used down south.
Really?
A mohawk hybrid, sausage head. Have you ever heard that one? A crappie bass, a speckled bass, calico bass. These are all names for crappie. Paper mouth. I understand why they get that name. Swago bass and crappie.
Crappie. Yeah, you go down south and you get to fish with those guys. They don't know what crappie means. They mean crappie. It's all crappie.
But I don't know of any other fish that has near the names that good old crappie does.
Well, there's probably the most. Why is there the most edible fish? Maybe the hybrid bluegill, but they're just so darn good.
Yeah,
you can't hardly screw them up. That's the main thing on those things.
Yeah,
you know. And when you get to filleting them, once you kind of get in the rhythm of it, man, it's just a piece of cake.
Yeah,
you know, on the deal. You know,
Can be, you know, coming out of this warm water. Water's definitely heating up.
You know,
getting into the mid 80s and some places in upper 80s at. They can be a little mealy, a little mushy, you know, and coming out of that hot water. Not like the cold water for sure. But so what a lot of people do is just keep a cooler ice instead of trying to keep them alive in the live well. Just
throw them
on ice. Yeah, and that helps firm them up a little.
Is that cruel and unusual punishment?
I think it's very refreshing.
Refreshing for them?
Yeah, that hot wetter, water.
Then they go numb. They don't know where they're at. And so that's when you fillet them.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know. Boy. Crappie. They're awful good.
Yum.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm so hungry this morning for some reason.
I know. You're making me hungry,
Me too. I think I'm going to stop at the Waffle House or something on the way home.
Seeing those walleye.
But they won't have no crappie.
No.
Or if anybody's ever raised crappie commercially.
I've never heard of. There's no reason to.
No reason to, is there?
They're pretty easy to find.
Huh.
Awful numerous.
I got some breaking news. We're going to have a guest on here in a minute, Mark. This is big news. This is probably one of the few people in the United States know this news, and it's going to be brought to us by Steve Kitchen, Waterfowler extraordinaire, one of the greatest, probably the best duck hunter I've ever hunted with, most professional. I've seen him do things with a duck call that ducks just, he could bring them to me when they had no reason to come to me. Hmm. The guy is...
That's saying something coming from you, because you're no slouch.
Well, this guy is phenomenal. I mean, I'm just a piker. I'm a piccolo player compared to this guy. You know, you can't believe what he can do with a duck call. You just got to sit there. You know, we have those flight ducks go over top of us 300, 400 yards high going out to feed in Kansas. Nebraska, wherever they go. And he'll drag one out of that flock every once in a while. And it's always a drake.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I can't beat that. That's what you want.
So I guess he's sounding like the sexiest hen that ever was around.
And why are we talking of ducks here in the summer? I guess it's never too early to talk about it.
Well, there's something going on that people need to know. There's something going on. So we're going to let him kind of announce it on the deal. So
okay, cool.
We'll see what's going on the deal. So anyway, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors again, and we have an opening in the show. We've never had one. We've got some extra time here. So if you want to be a sponsor, get a hold of Tobin Lawn, Mark Tobin. What's the phone number again?
816-765-5565.
We'll take care of you. We'll work with you in any budget you can, and we'll put you in here as a sponsor. There's no doubt about it. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. First time we've done the show with our clothes on for a long, long time. We're sitting here staring at each other, kind of weird.
Yes, you are weird.
It is weird, isn't it?
Your mind works in mysterious ways.
Huh. You know why?
I don't know.
I've been around Steve Kitchen too long.
That'll do it to you.
Oh, God, drive you off the nuts. If you weren't nuts, you soon will be. Right. Our guest, our special guest, just released from the institution on his medication, Steve Kitchen, the greatest waterfowler to ever walk the face of the earth, and I mean that from my heart. How you doing, Mr. Kitchen?
I didn't get the memo. I'm out in my garden naked.
That's a disturbing thought.
My neighbors are really looking at me weird, but I said, man, I'm on the radio show. I got to be naked.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't get the memo, huh?
I didn't get the memo.
Ah, man, I'm going to have to talk to
that
gal.
You do that to me all the time. What's up, well. How you guys doing?
Great.
All right. You told me a story yesterday, kind of breaking news. I've stayed off of it because I think I've got an awful lot of listeners who keep calling me, wanting to know if they can go to Canada this year. Have you heard anything about this?
All I've heard is what I told you yesterday. I heard that they were supposedly going to open up the 25th of July or somewhere around that. I know a couple buddies are outfitters that they are now opening their books. I called my friends up there that I've been blessed to go up there to them for 25 years and talked to them, and they said, yeah, that's what we're hearing too. So I told them that I'd be there in October. So
cool.
That's all I know right now. I think that there's going to be some stipulations. You got to be vaccinated and different things like that, and some people don't want to hear that, and some people don't mind that. So
yeah.
That's your own choice. If you want to go to Canada and they want you to have a vaccination, it's not the United States, so it's their choice, not ours. So.
You know, I've got some friends that go up there with outfitters. I know guys have got the money on deposit up there, and on several different people from years back and can't get in, and they're just – I feel sorry for those outfitters up there.
Oh, yeah, boy.
You know, they got to be struggling to beat the band up there, you know.
Well, you know, think you know, we think about the hunting side of it. Think of the fishing side.
Sure.
How many camps are up there and how many lakes? And how many places have, oh, man, those people are, they're hurting and they need it open back up. Let's just all hope that it does and everything. You know, we say get back to normal. I don't know if we'll ever have another normal ever again. It's just like weather. There is no normal weather anymore. It's
yeah.
Either rain all the time or none at all.
Like, yeah.
That's what we are on this side. You guys on that side have had some rain. We haven't had any. I don't know if you've had it in Northwest, but I know they have had it in Southwest. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Just a weird year.
I'm out here watering my garden because it's so dry.
Yeah, I got a little rain up there the other day at the duck club, and a mile north of it, I didn't get any. You know, so that's just the way. It's just streaks of rain on the
mm-hmm.
deal.
We need some.
How's your dad doing? I like him.
He's doing good.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. He's, tinkering, always making duck calls, doing something. There's nothing going to grow underneath him, I promise you.
Boy, he's a dandy, isn't he?
He is.
I get on there.
We're having him over Sunday for Father's Day.
Well, I would think so. And give him a parade down Main Street. Give him a big hug for him. I only got to be around him a little bit, but I tell you what, I can just tell you, he's a class act. Is he a better waterfowler than you ever thought about being?
Oh, I think that I mean, I learned a lot from him, but I also learned a lot from a guy that you knew, is George Shaw, and
yeah.
George taught my dad, so that'll tell you what my dad can do. So.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that goes back to the old days, don't it, George Shaw?
Yes, sir.
Woo! Yep. That goes back.
I cut my teeth up there. I mean, that I sat on the end of that old guy's bed many, many nights learning how to blow a duck call.
Yeah.
In that camp right there, so it was.
In
it
that,
was the, yeah, special.
In that cabin. When I was up there that one day, they had the curl with a thumbtack through it above the door. And I said, what's mm-hmm. this indicate? And they said the thousandth drake they'd killed that season.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I remember as a kid, the book, you'd read the book and, you know, it'd be there 2,500, 3,000 ducks.
Oh, yeah.
I remember 600-700 teal during teal season.
Sure. But
crazy.
Here's the difference is, and you hung around with these guys, my understanding, I never hunted with George Shaw, but these guys never miss.
They're pretty good. You know what it reminded me of is watching Duck Commander on the Duck Commander on the old videos. They never miss, but they had edit.
Yeah.
They had edit. But, you know, those guys, yeah, I remember I'd sit in the south line and they'd be in that butcher box and a duck would come over. And you'd think, wow, I wonder if they're going to, oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. You know, that was just back in the days of that number, you know, number five and number four lead.
Yeah.
But pretty cool.
Boy, you could really smoke them with them number five leads.
Oh,
you could
really
up and talk to them.
Yeah. I tell you what, there's that new stuff out there, that bismuth, man. I'm telling you what, I've been shooting that the last couple of years, and it's up there along the lines. I mean, it's not quite as out is the old lead shot, but it's pretty strong, that's for sure.
What is that?
Bismuth.
Okay.
Great product.
There's a company out there that redivided it a little bit and copper plated it. Remember the old copper plated lead back
in
the
day?
Oh my gosh. It was nasty. And they figured out how to copper plate that bismuth, and they've done a pretty good job with it.
Yeah.
Hopefully here in the next year or so, they'll get that thing out at retail.
You know, I was up in South Dakota with Jerry Diggs, the greatest shot I've ever hunted with, and he had a copper buffered sixes. And them old roosters get up at 60 yards, and he break them down like they were 20 yards, you know, just shoot clean
Crazy.
Through them.
Wow.
And
I remember shooting at ducks.
Yeah. And those guys up there that we were hunting with had never seen anything like this. And another rooster would get up and he'd croak it, and the next one he'd croak it, you know, and I just sit mm-hmm. back and smile. You know, the guy just didn't miss, and he was just phenomenal shot with a shotgun. So, you know, I hate saying that. He listens every once in a while. What's that?
I remember George and Bill Nolan.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Goodness gracious. He was a game warden up there, I think.
He sure was. Yeah.
And there were several of them.
Oh, yeah.
My grandfather... on my dad's side, I never really got to hunt with him. He was older at the time, and they'd leave for the winter. But he was good friends with George, and that's how my dad, of course, got up there.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's just those are old fuzzy stories. Those are cool.
Can you still outshoot the old man, or is it the other way around?
Oh, I shoot a lot more loads a year. Probably, I could probably outshoot him.
Probably, I doubt it. Now, I don't know.
I don't know. I think probably.
I think what we'll do is have you and your dad come.
Have a contest?
A little contest, get in my blind, and we'll score it. And if the duck's over 60 yards, you get 10 extra bonus points.
That's where my dad would lose.
Uh-oh.
because he doesn't he don't get them. He don't like to shoot them that far. I don't like to. None of us like to.
Yeah.
But you know what? On those days that they don't want to play the fairway, they don't want to listen as well. Sometimes that has to happen, but not high on our list. But.
Yeah. Are you familiar with, they got a $1,050,000 grant at Squaw Creek? Well, that's just now Lois Bluffs. I'll always call it Squaw Creek. They got a $1,050,000 grant, and they put in three wells into the deal. They've drained down the east side, and all this wild millet's coming up in that pool.
Nice.
And it's going to be a game changer for them boys down in Arkansas and southern Missouri, I think. This thing. It's going to take several years.
Stay here.
Yeah, it's going to make them stay.
Oh,
until it freezes up.
I still think you're far enough north that they leave, you know, at some point in time if it gets cold enough. If it get cold enough. You know, like here, Fred, I mean, we'll get cold and they might leave here for 3 days, and if it warms back up, they come back here. But as I remember, you get much further than here. You get up Swan Lake, you get places like that. Once they leave, they leave.
Yeah, we'll have occasional, they'll jump out on the Missouri River for a few days, and then they hit that warm south wind. We'll get them back again for a day or two, but usually that happens one time a year, and then the next time they're gone for good. They're down Stuttgart next morning in the day also.
Yeah, or somewhere, for sure. But that's the difference in just a little bit of latitude. It's kind of crazy.
You know, I talk to a lot of duck hunters every day. It seems like I talk to a duck hunter. And proud of it, but it's just hilarious to talk to them. One of them says that all the ducks are going down the east side of the state of Missouri, and the next one he talked to said, well, the flyway chain is west of us. And so I called John Devney with Delta Waterfowl, and I said, you know, and they keep all these logs and these books, and now they got telemetry on ducks, and I said, is the flyway changing? He said, no. It's just absolutely the same. It's just Mother Nature controls it a little bit more than others. Do you agree with that?
Well, sure. I mean, we still get the same amount of ducks. And, I mean, there's years that we still get the same, you know, same amount, and there's years that we don't get as many. You know, when the Dakotas don't have any snow, it can be pretty darn cold, and every duck in the world still be up in the Dakotas because, you know, they have open water under Missouri River and things like that. If it gets cold enough and snow, that makes everything come. You know, I mean, look what happened last spring during the snow goose season down in Arkansas and all points where everybody got cold as heck. Everything went south. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And then it was like a reset button, and everything had to come back north. Then I mean, we still had ducks, you know, coming back north in late March.
Sure did. Yeah.
You know, and it's just all it takes is weather. And that's what I was going back to earlier. There is no normal anymore.
Right.
It's extremes. We go cold as heck or we go warm as heck. And, you know, dry. I mean, I've never put this many gallons of water on my garden in many, many years. But I'm having to put it on there.
Yeah. You know? Hey, I had Ted Hatfield and Mark Tobin in the blind this fall. And it was like hunting with Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder. But to defense Mark just a little bit, for a guy who only picks up a shotgun once a year, he did pretty darn good. He could really stack them. And any comments, Mark Tobin, or is it too early to talk about it? Or
no, I had fun. I got to do a lot of shooting.
Shooting.
Yeah, but finally got a limit.
But. Yeah. You did good. I was proud of you.
No, there's nothing like being in the blind with Fred Ramsey.
We giggled.
Yeah. Well, and Ted Hatfield.
Oh.
And Steve Kitchens, too.
I mean, Kitchens is fun. I was telling before you joined us on the air about every time I hunt with you, I learn something. I'm still of the elk of learning at 70 years of age. And I'll never forget if I live to be 140, which probably ain't going to make 71, but... the day the flight ducks were going over the top of us, and you leaned back on that call and hit that bunch of birds that was 300 yards high, and you drug this drake out of there like he was gut shot, and down he come in the decoys. And I was trying to light the furnace in the blind, and I can't remember who was with us. But anyway, next thing I know is you said, you better get your gun. And I'm thinking, this guy's smoking something weird. He's doing some kind of quaalude or something here. And the next thing I know, I hear boom, flop, and the duck. And then you did it again. What are you saying to these ducks? Are you talking dirty to them, or what's going on?
I couldn't tell you what I'm saying to them. I just keep trying different stuff until it works. But, you know, I mean, those ducks that are leaving squaw and headed over to Nebraska, they got, you know, they got food on the mind. And every once in a while, you get lucky and catch one that has Mrs. Duck on the mind instead of food. And you know how that works with us, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes Mrs. Duck wins. And,
always.
You know, you just never know.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys, oh, we don't call it those, we don't do this. You know, I mean, every once in a while, it's not a bad deal just to give her a shot. I mean, you know, if I was hunting public areas and things like that, I hate it when everybody's screaming at everything. But there's a time for it and a time not for it.
Yeah. Well, you can
especially
read
on your place, which is private, when we're not messing anybody else up. So what the heck, can you give it a try?
Yeah.
I, like I said, I wouldn't do it on a public area where maybe somebody else is working a dock or something with everything flying over like that. You know, you kind of just pick and pick your chances a little bit more there. But on your private spot where you're not messing anybody else up, you know, it's a good thing to do. And, you know, and it's, I like it when I got guys that don't know how to call real well and trying to learn. If you're on a private spot, you let them give it a shot, you know. Everybody's, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to mess nothing up. You're not going to mess nothing up. Just give it a shot. Mm-hmm. That's how you're going to learn how to call ducks.
Well, Steve, how did you become such a great caller? Do you have any tips that you could give people that
George
to improve?
Shaw.
George Shaw.
George Shaw. Two words. That's it.
He was the best. There was nobody like him.
Two words. Like I said, I sat on the end of his bed many, many nights listening. Many nights, and then operating the call and listen to what he says. Guys ask me all the time, hey, teach me how to do that. Teach me how to do this. I am not a very good teacher. There are people out there that are very good teachers. There's a guy named Keith Allen who is just awesome at taking the time and having the patience to teach people. A guy at our club, Jason Matheny, he's blown, you know, a lot of competitions and things, and he has the patience and the time to do it. It's just a different thing for everybody. I don't know how to put into words what I'm doing to a duck call.
Uh-huh.
You know, and some people do know how to put it into words where a guy can understand it. I haven't figured that part out yet. I know how to blow one, but I don't know how to teach somebody.
Well,
I can get somebody the basics, but not, you know, you can tell them how to hold it and tell them how to do things like that, but trying to figure out how to get that air to come from down in your diaphragm and not out of your mouth, mm-hmm. you know, just out of your upper lungs, it's a hard deal.
Yeah. I took a gentleman and his son. I gave away a hunt for charity, and a father's son came, and the kid pulled out his duck call and started screaming on it, and I went, uh-oh, now I got to be here all day with this guy. And I got to talking to him, and I said, well, he said, well, I got third in the Kansas Open. I said, well, how many people were calling? He said, three. I'll never forget
he
that.
He had the you know what's to get up on the stage, though. So yeah. You got to give him credit for
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
All right.
But, there's some people who, with it in their hands, is the worst thing in the world, and there's some people that know what they're doing with it. And, you know, it's just, you got to know your ability, and you got to know, again, like I said, if you're going to mess somebody up, don't do it. If you're not going to be messing anybody up, you got to try and try and try. And, you know, and you take a lot of people like that, and, you know, a lot of times you can kindly say, hey, if you guys want to shoot some of these ducks, maybe you ought to let me try that. You know, let's hold off a little bit. Or, you know, there's tactful ways to do that.
Sure.
Or, you know, I know a guy at our club says, man, let me see that call. I'm going to give it. We gotta give it a little pitch.
Uh-huh.
He pitches it right out in the water.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the pitch you need. That's where this kid's call ended up, behind the blind, you know. Yeah, you just give me the pitch.
You know, sometimes. But, you know, you can't blame a guy for trying, but the time for learning isn't always in the duck blind either, unless, like I said, if you got a spot like yours where you're not going to hurt anybody, and the ducks are really flying good or something, who cares? Let them try.
Let them try.
You know you're going to get them. But yep. If it's one of those days where, hey, you know, we've only killed four ducks in the last 3 days, and we'd like to shoot a couple of them,
yeah,
you better shut up.
Yeah, better set up and listen for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I always wondered, if you were a trombone player, a trumpet player, a clarinet player, would that give you an edge to blow a duck call?
I don't know. I don't know. I know some musicians that duck hunt, but I don't know any that play trombone.
Yeah, Tobin.
Most of the duck hunters I know that are various good musicians play guitar.
Yeah, Tobin can blow a trombone like nobody I've ever heard in my life. You go out here in the parking lot after the show's over, and he'll blow his trombone for an hour out there. He's just really, really good.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
You didn't know that?
I didn't.
Is that what you?
I didn't know we had to wear clothes this morning.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You don't tell us those things.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you the memo the next time on the deal. What's Rich and Tone got out? You got anything new out for this season?
Not new this year, no. Okay. Pretty much status quo. I think the COVID, thing is, finally getting over with, and you'll see some new stuff out of people. I mean, even us at Sitka, there's not a whole lot of new waterfowl stuff this year. It's not been released, so I can't really tell you about it. But there's a couple new items, not a lot.
Yeah.
It just was one of those slow years of development and production and things like that. So, I think you'll start seeing things happen a little bit more in the coming year. But, there's a cool event going to happen this next weekend north of Fort Worth, Texas, at the Texas Motor Speedway. It's Ducks Unlimited Festival, where the DU guys have, they used to have one in Oshkosh, and they had it down in Memphis. I think that they're going to try and see how it'll work over in Texas this year. So I got to go down there with Max Prairie Wings next weekend, and we'll have a good old time. If anybody's in Texas, come see us.
Cool. That sounds like a good plan. Now that we only got the three listeners, you can tell everything exactly like it is this morning. What's your thoughts on Mondo?
It's not my style. I still like a daisy cutter. I don't hunt the timber as much. I mean, you can blow the Mondo all over the place, don't get me wrong, but it was developed for in the flooded timber in Arkansas. And I know guys that operate it super, super well, and it's their style. It's not my style. I like to call more like a daisy cutter myself.
The first time I heard the Mondo was at Rogers Lures, and I wanted to throw it up on the roof.
Well, it doesn't sound like what we're used to. It doesn't sound like George Shaw.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a sound that's really different. It's a sound that's more of a bark, and it's more of a hey, get over here, real quick. kind of like what I was doing to those ducks that day. That we're talking about up there when they're flying out, but just a little different because it's made to sound that way in the woods.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what, if you're down in the woods in Arkansas and you got a guy who knows how to operate one and you're standing in the woods with them, you're like, where are they? Where's that hen? I heard her. I know where she's in the woods somewhere. So, I mean, it's a pretty neat call. It's just, it's one that it takes different air, a different style of air. And, but I tell you what, in the man that knows how to operate it, it's a neat call. And like I said, it's a call that can be used outside of the timber, but it's not my gig.
Yeah. I guess I'm too old. I just can't adjust. Old people have a hard time adjusting, don't like change. And I just cannot make myself understand that call or why it was developed. But again, I'm not hunting flooded timber. So that's the whole deal.
It was developed way, 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 way before anybody ever thought of a Mondo. Okay, you remember those old black plastic oak calls?
PS Olds.
Guys back in the day. I mean, they would cut those things, whittle them down, and modify them to make them do that sound that you're talking there.
Yeah.
And it's been happening for many, many, many years. It's just Rich and Tone and a few other manufacturers out there have made the call to be a production call so you don't have to modify it yourself. And they've made a few versions of it, a shorter one and a longer one, and a Louisiana style. And there's so many different styles of the cut that that they make them in, because everybody wants it to sound just a little bit different than the next guy. So it's another tool in the arsenal. It's just like do you use a spinning wing, or do you use a jerk cord, or it's just another one of the tools. And in the right hands, it's a real effective tool.
Steve Kitchen, we're out of radio time. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
It happens too fast.
Yeah, this is the greatest waterfowl. It's such an honor to have you on the air. It's such an honor to hunt it with you. I don't get to hunt with you enough, and I invite you every year, and we never seem to get together, but we will. I'm getting too old. I want you to stop by and have a nice visit with me one of these days, and got a whole can of soda pop up there for you if you'd like to drink it and that kind of thing. So, we'd love to see you. We'd love to see you. You got a standing invite. you know.
I better. Okay, I better get inside and get some clothes on.
Yeah, the sun's coming up. Sun's coming up.
She's looking outside like, what the hell is he doing out there watering his garden like that?
Yeah, are your neighbors?
I guess it's a good way. You know what? They might be buying a privacy fence today.
That might be.
That's how you get a privacy fence.
Yeah, right.
Are your neighbors aware of shrinkage?
Yes, of course. Hey, you know, I'm watering the garden, and it's kind of like blowing back. And it's like,
I know what you're doing, but I can't say it on the air. Okay.
Nope.
Yeah,
hey guys, thanks again. Enjoy it every time.
Oh, yeah, good to talk wonderful. To you, thank you, buddy. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, bye. What a great guy.
Might be able to get back to Canada this year.
Sounds like it.
That's
July the 25th. That's not official. Nobody go running off the end of the earth. But somebody's let something slip up there and said something. And, a lot of guys go up there to go fishing.
Right, absolutely.
And catch them, 2-pound walleye.
Mm. Yeah.
The big northern that you can't eat. But what the hey. You ever eaten a northern?
Oh, they're great. Yeah.
Oh, you like them?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you'd eat gar, too.
I have done that.
Yeah, you liked it, too.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. Next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. So long, everybody.